You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two. Mino and the Mayor, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app, 54 in Green Bay, 54 in Appleton, 55 in Oshkosh, and a great looking week, isn't it though?
And weekend.
And one of the things you do is go to the...
Well, the Packer game.
Oktoberfest?
But Saturday, the pregame, we are going to the
I put the accent
on the wrong syllable. I know. You're right. Oktoberfest.
I've just had a revelation. All these years, I've just gotten up in the morning. If I had gotten up to rush every morning you guys have just done.
Absolutely.
My life would have been totally different.
Absolutely.
I've been bounding out of bed. Absolutely. Rushing to work.
There you go. That's our goal. That's one of our many goals.
You know what I just read? And I did it this morning. I just read that if you get, first thing you do when you get up is do as many push-ups as you can.
Oh, right.
You'll have the same amount of getting you up type thing as caffeine. Same type of thing.
No.
Yes.
With one push-up.
I didn't say
you
just,
said as many as we could. One push-up will give you that same rush.
As much of a boost as caffeine.
How come you're on your third cup of coffee then?
I'll read it. I'll find it for
Mino,
you.
Mino, I got to share that cover album that album cover.
Orleans,
right? Kind of a scary one.
Uh-huh.
Do you know
uh-huh.
what song was on that one?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
No, that's a good song.
That was their biggest of all time.
One of the biggest,
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Remember when ABC used this as their campaign?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was back in the heyday of Charlie's Angels and those shows on ABC. Oh, man.
I mean, those
Battle
lineups,
of the Network Stars.
Yes.
They should bring that back. They need to bring Wonder Woman back to the 50 meter. That was incredible. That was right when I was in college, starting college. And people would talk about the TV lineups, like it would be Happy Days and Mork and Mindy and Laverne and Shirley. Then there'd be another night with the Charlie's Angels and something else.
And they all had great opening songs back then.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. And I remember I had a programming class. And that was a really fun class at ASU. I didn't study much. We had programming class. And That was cool, where it's like, you had to try to learn flow with your lineup and all those kind of things. It was really interesting. Yeah. And it's right during that heyday.
It was.
So it was really a lot of fun.
It was. And talking about Orleans, Love Takes Time is one of the great songs, I think, of the entire 70s, 80s.
Did you do radio?
I did.
Where at?
Back in Springfield, Illinois.
Okay.
I'm surprised the legend hasn't made it here that you would know that. I was morning drive in college.
Really?
Yes. And actually, I started
Wait, at commercial station or college station?
A college station, but we had a 50,000-watt station.
Oh.
And there we go. Here we go. Love Takes Time by Orleans.
Okay, I want to play a little game.
All right.
Daryl, I'm going to start the song again. Can you walk the ramp?
I'm going to try
here.
Okay.
All right, let's try it. Let's see how it goes.
All right.
Good morning, everyone. We're with Mino and the Mayor. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And what a way to start your day with a band by the name of Orleans, taking it back to the 70s on 97.9.
That was good.
Not bad.
Wow.
That was good.
That was really good.
That was good.
That was really good.
Yep, that was very good.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I did not know that.
Thank you, Todd.
Yeah.
You just transported me back in time.
Yeah. That was
outstanding.
You had great recall because that was great.
Where'd you go to school?
University of Illinois, Springfield.
Ah, okay.
And back to the 50,000-watt radio station, I spun classical music in the morning, my very first job, and then I had a chance to move up to rock and roll stuff later on.
Oh, you've got the voice to do both. You know, you could classical, do both of them, classical or rock and
interesting.
Roll.
Wow.
You're talking classical rock or no, classical music.
I wish I was talking classical. Okay. But you know what? I have to say, at dinner parties and events like that, I can talk about Rachmaninoff and I can talk about, you know, the Beethoven, Bach, and know what I'm talking about. And it all goes back to my college days, you know, where we were an NPR station back then. Yeah. And, but it was a wonderful experience.
National Public Radio, those kind of
things? Well, sure.
Of course it does.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I mean with the colleges. Do colleges still have those?
Well, they do, but because most of them are now.
Our frequency right here used to be GPs.
Right.
Well, now my old station is all professional staff, but back then they had professional staff, and my career started thanks to them taking a chance on me on that 50,000-watt radio station.
That's cool.
But there's still the small college radio stations. I mean, St. Norbert.
Oh, most
has
of them.
They still teach.
Most of the small college radio stations, the reason I mentioned 50,000 watts is we boomed out all over the place.
Right.
Most college radio stations, you barely get to four dorms over.
That's what I was going to say. Absolutely.
But what's cool is it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
That's,
yeah.
What I was asking. Yeah. If those kind
in fact, I'm going to brag for
a
second.
I didn't know commercial took everything over.
My son, Jeff, our son, Jeff, who's in television now, was the college radio station host of the year at Illinois State University.
At Cornell?
In Bloomington, Illinois. And because they put so much emphasis on radio and television there for the young people, and he just loved it. He ate it, he breathed it, and he loved the history of it.
That's awesome.
And Norbert's... Did they invite you to be a guest? I thought they would at St. Norbert. You know, they were always looking for, and I was over there, and you're right, it went to four dorms. But they were so into that radio. I don't know what happened to those couple of those kids that were really working.
Well, I mean, we didn't
it,
I went to Arizona State, and we didn't have one. I that would have been awesome to
have
one.
Oh, there you go bragging again,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, I know, right? But we didn't even have
one. We went to these little state schools. Yeah. You went to the big boomer out there in Arizona.
Hey, you saw my ACT.
I did. It's better than I thought.
I did 23. What did you have?
What was it like going to ASU? Were you able to get on the air there? And I mean, was it?
It was. There were like 500 kids in the
program.
That's
what I thought.
You had to get an internship. The big thing was getting an internship. Mm-hmm. That's where I learned 95% of what I knew about TV and broadcasting and the whole thing. Literally, I got from my internship versus school.
Right.
And I hate to say it. It's the Walter Cronkite School of Broadcasting. I'm sure it's much better now. But it was like. When I went there, it was like overwhelming the people. That's when the first people from the Midwest were moving to Arizona, and it was like dirt cheap. And then all of a sudden, just while it was the influx was crazy. Mm-hmm. So it was just too many students for what they had to offer.
That's the reason I selected the University of Illinois Springfield, because I had a chance to be on the air. I was headed for Southern Illinois University, which had a tremendous reputation back then, but they told me I would be at least a junior before I had a shot on the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Internships, you know, I would remember giving a State of the City one time and just really calling on the businesses in our community to offer internships, and they're not easy, right? It's a little, it's not babysitting, but it's not, you know, the most productive employee in the building. But boy, do we have an obligation as people a little older, a little bit more seasoned to offer internships.
And then those kids or whomever have an obligation that we're opening the door for you.
Right, right.
Because you've seen it so many times, they don't take advantage.
Right. And the other thing is that it's kind of a period of discernment, too. Like, maybe I don't want to do this. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
I really harken back to that. And people who are listening, internships they're great. I mean, they're great for the student, and they can be good for your company. Yeah. It's just, you got to have a program. It's got to be laid out. It's got to have goals. Because you don't want to get some college kid that really wants to be in radio and have them go filing all day. Well, it's like, come on.
And I've always said this. The reason Aaron Rodgers had a quarterback coach is you need practice. And you need to have mentors who are showing you the way. You cannot go on radio and television and not know what you're doing and fool anyone.
Nobody.
It's one profession where there is no shortcut.
Yeah, you can be mayor for 16 years and walk into a studio. You can do that.
How did you get here, John?
You called me.
I did. So, so Daryl, I want to talk this.
But I would say the only thing, though, too.
Back to
as far as with the internship type things, I've seen it both ways. I've seen where kids come in and they just embrace it. And I always tell them, when you get an internship, do me a favor. Find something. Find one thing there, wherever, what station, wherever you're at, where you can take a little bit of the load off of somebody that actually works there. If you will be so invaluable, if you can find the slightest thing where you're actually making their job a little bit easier, you're in.
Right.
But if you're making their job harder because they have to babysit you and all that, you're out.
Well, that's what my son did, and I give him so much credit for this. He got a job at the same time at a commercial radio station, and John, he did that very thing. If they needed a cup of coffee, he went and got it.
Yep.
And they, in turn, took the time and effort to help him on his way.
That's exactly it. And that can be a difference breaker on your career.
Yeah, and I think an intern, and we tried to give them the word confidence, but if you have an idea, let us know. I mean, when I was in government, it was a little bit different, right? But, I mean, some of those kids, you know, those juniors, seniors at Norbert's and at TC and here at GB, it's like, wow, this is great. I mean, we've learned something from you, too. So I think they got to speak up and not just – I feel bad. My kid, they were all interns, but one of them got a job, and it was just filing.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what?
It's a waste of time.
It is. It's not, so you were at XYZ, great company, but I mean, come on. That's not why we hire interns. We hire interns to learn a little bit, but to actually teach them. And if you have a program in place, they can be very, very valuable for both entities, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, one of our interns at the TV station one year was Tammy Elliott.
Right. Look
and
at her.
Tammy Elliott took that and ran with it.
I didn't know things turned out pretty well.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Wow.
So, I mean, those are the kind of things that, you know, that's the, and we had, you know, a whole bunch of other ones that went on to other great professions, but that was the key. They would, when that person walked through the door, it wasn't, oh, I got to find something for them to do. It's, okay, good, they're here.
Right.
They can.
There you go.
All the difference in the world.
Seize the opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
So, hey, Darryl, I got to ask you one quick question. I mean, but do you still follow football as much as you used to and everything, or?
Well, we were immersed in it,
well,
you know,
I mean,
when
ridiculous.
Back in the day. So I don't follow it that closely, but I do follow it to the point where I'm interested in what's happening, especially, you know, with this whole NIL thing at the college level and how it's affecting the pros and what the pros are doing and certain things like that. I find it fascinating. But what I don't have anymore is that 24/7 mentality of I have to know what's going on at all times.
You know, that's exactly right. It's who was I talking to about that? That was a Packer beat writer, maybe Wes Hod, one of them, where they're still involved, but it's not that every day where you wake up in the morning and think to yourself, okay, I got to see what the other guys have. Did I miss something overnight? That thing wore a person out, didn't it though?
Oh, and here we go again.
Go ahead, hit the ramp.
Talk us into the break here. You're with the two best guys in Green Bay right now, Mino and the Mayor, on 97.9 WGBW.
Nice.
Dance with me. I want to be a partner. Can't you see? The music is just starting. Night is calling. And I.
Hey, it's time for our Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest on WGBW and WISS. It's your chance to win cash or jewelry and to qualify for the grand prize, a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see Green Bay take on New Orleans in Green Bay on December 23rd.
And listen closely. This hour's keyword is green. G-R-E-E-N. That's green. Download the Civic Media app, find our stations, and use the text button at the bottom of your screen to send the keyword for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
All right. Again, this hour's keyword is green. Your next chance to play is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair on Air. Again, the word is green. You've got till the end of the hour to text in for your shot to win in this statewide contest.
Nicely done, Darryl.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
You got the pipes working today. Got the whole thing going. Jim's saying hello to our next guests. Darryl, we're talking a little bit about football, though. Isn't it crazy how things have changed? You know, every Friday we have a different Packer player on. We had Matt Brock the other day. We had Yurko. Who else have we had, Todd? Don Davey.
Yeah.
Rich Moran. Okay. And to a man, especially the linemen. They say what they would give to go back 25 years or whatever. because they would be able to play so many more years because their bodies got so beat up from practices.
Oh yes,
that's what ended their careers. Kind of is just wore you down in those days.
Well, you know, it's a lot like boxing.
Yeah,
there's so much of the pain and the hitting that takes place away from game day.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right. It's like taking all these decades to come to the conclusion you need to preserve the body.
You know something, though, that I didn't realize? I think Larry McCarron and a couple of those guys had told me this. I mean, everybody talks about Forrest Gregg, how hard he was, and yada, yada, yada. They said Bart Starr's practices were harder.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm amazed at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
The other thing, I remember talking to Gary Ellis one day. He said, well, you know, in Bart's day, we hit every practice.
Yeah.
Every practice.
Yeah. You know, but they had a tremendous offense. You have to give them that.
Oh, yeah, though. No question.
But the biggest change I see, at least from afar, John, is the fact that we used to have to chase. It was almost every day you were trying to get that story or break that story. Now they herd them in.
I know.
In front of everyone. Everyone has the same chance to interview. You don't get that intimacy that we used to get with the players.
And I always felt with this, the way it is now, that you might have this question you've thought up that's going to be a great, great question. And now you ask it, and everybody takes it like it's theirs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a huge change. And also, we used to march right into Judge Perrin's office,
absolutely.
Bart's office, whatever.
Absolutely. Bob Harlan's.
Now you can't even up to the backer offices.
I mean, just walk
offices.
Into the training locker room.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in the back loading dock. Just,
exactly.
Just walk in.
And, you know, we weren't a threat.
No.
You know, we did our jobs. We had to say what we had to say on the air. But it wasn't taken personally.
No, exactly.
And as a result, we had a great relationship with the organization. And now it's become, and I hate to say big business, but it's really a multi-billion dollar business now.
Yeah, and they've got their people now, too, where they control things. You know, they've got their, not just, it used to be an agent,
right.
But now they have a team.
Oh, yes.
And you can just tell with some of the sound bites, it's like, okay, that was structured or practiced.
It almost sounds like NASCAR, where they have had a PR person and handlers
coach.
Who teach them how to answer questions.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. It's not far removed from, remember, the Olympics back in the day. And I used to cover pro skiing when I worked in Idaho in my first job.
Oh, wow.
And there was a pro skiing circuit back in those days. And they would never do an interview without their cap pulled down so the logo and their skis, Rossignol,
right next
to them in the picture. I mean, that was as big of a part for doing it as anything. Yeah.
Exactly.
But you know what? In those days, though, too, the guys, and we talk about this all the time, they were a little bit more normal guys in regards to them and their wives would get together all the time and we'd see them out at different places. And there was just a certain type of camaraderie that I don't think we'll ever see again.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the money has changed everything. I read something the other day that just fascinated me. The great Al Kaline played 21 years with the Detroit Tigers, had an off-season job all 21 of those years, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Today, you can come out of college and you're set for life. Some of these
guys...
You might
be able to come out of high school.
That's right.
Set for a lot of years.
And you know, some of these guys will never be able to outspend the money they're making. They'll try, but they won't be able to outspend.
It's like Kirk Cousins and those people.
Right.
No, it's like, are you kidding me?
I know.
But another thing with the guys in that era, and I joked about this with Matt Brock. I said, Matt, I mean, with the money people are making now, I said, you know what our inducement was to try to get somebody to come over at like 10:30 on a Sunday night after they'd just been beaten by the Vikings? He goes, I said, it was a gift certificate for an oil change.
Yes.
And you know what? No one turned it down.
That's right.
And there were times when I was in the locker room where they did, hey, Mino, I forgot my oil change. Can you get it for me? And they would still take those oil changes.
And I think once upon a time, too, we also had a clothing store. And it might have been $100, which was a big
amount. It was in the mall downstairs
here. Yes.
No. It was a leather place.
Mayor,
Paulo's.
We're just talking about the good old days.
Daryl, Paulo's? Something like that, Paulo's?
Was that...
It was in the mall here.
You're probably right.
I think that was that. Wasn't that quarterback's place, that country place? Is that what you're talking about?
No. It was right in the old mall here.
Okay.
The right downtown mall that they never should have been torn down.
The thing that had a lifespan of like 6 years,
and we kept it around for tearing that down.
I'll take total credit for that.
That was my favorite place to go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's why.
A big cookie and Orange Julius.
Wasn't there a place called Wilson's?
Yes.
That was in the mall or something?
Yes, yeah, maybe that was the leather place.
But I just remember, you know, we were talking about Lynn Dickey back when we were doing those shows. A $50 gift certificate, $100 gift certificate. Oh, yeah. That was big stuff. And
that
the players
huge.
Would come on
for
that.
Oh, they would take those.
Didn't Whitehurst do a whole country western store? I think he did.
He was before me, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Anyway, I never covered him.
All right. Although they had
Facebook
the country.
Friended him, and I'm trying to get him on.
All right. Cool.
He's a great guy.
Anyway.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't know him.
Really?
No. Well, he got cut right when I got.
He comes back for that alumni thing.
You know, one other thing, though, too, and you've dealt with players over the years. If you find that select few, like you and A.J. Hawk, Donald Driver, you know, there's a certain group that no matter what the time period is, they're just the guys.
Right.
Absolutely. Loyal. They'll go the extra mile. They don't want anything. They just like, look, I think you're doing a good job. I love the city, and I want to support.
And Daryl would understand this more than anybody else. Larry McCarron and I always say, it's 2 minutes to show. You're in front of a live audience, and you got a Venus swimwear supermodel walks in the door and wants to go out and have drinks with you. Or the third string left tackle just walked through the door. Who are you more excited to see? Is that true?
That's funny.
That was always Larry McCain. Okay, so you got a supermodel. Larry, I want to go and take you out for drinks. Or the left guard who's got a broken ankle and isn't going to play for his year walks through.
All right, Daryl, we're going to see you this weekend.
Good imitation.
He just broke his ankle.
Right.
He's not even going to play. He might get amputated.
Oktoberfest.
For a guest.
Oktoberfest. Come and see. This is a great lineup of German engineering, German cars.
Oh, we have to talk about German food.
And great German food, too, right? And you got German beer, too, I see.
We do. Authentic German beer.
$15 a person. Bring the family. Bring your friends. 2 to 6 p.m. The Automobile Gallery. 400 South Adams. Oktoberfest this Saturday.
Boom.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. We've got some great guests today. Daryl Burnett talked about the Automobile Gallery, a huge Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest.
Right.
Take place this weekend. A lot of German food, all those kinds of things.
And German cars.
We've got Carl here with us right now. Carl Winter. Sprechen Sie Deutsch, Carl?
That's right.
Ein bisschen, ja. Ein bisschen Deutsch.
Ja,
nicht bitte. Sehr gut, aber ein bisschen, ja.
Ja. All right.
Carl.
Scheiße.
Yes. So, Carl, you're...
I just swore on the air.
You did.
In German. Todd.
$10,000.
The FCC's on the phone.
I just swore on the air.
Yeah. Okay.
Think about that. But, Carl, you're fascinating. First of all, we always talk about how people are cooler than us, except when Nikki comes in into the studio.
She's cooler than us. Everybody is. Everybody is. We've not.
Ouch.
Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Okay.
So anyway, but we heard great reviews on her last night, her and Todd with Pete Schwabe.
Oh, good.
It was a lot of fun.
Wow. But anyway, how about this guy? So we always say people are cooler than us.
Oh, this guy's amazing.
Okay. Did either one of our grandparents fight against the Americans in World War II?
I thought, okay, you can go and talk. I think the other thing is even cooler, but go ahead.
I know, but his grandfather fought for Germany, which is
generally not something I speak of proudly,
but it's
interesting family history, certainly.
So in my books, I've written 4 books, and I think I've had 3 or 4 people that were on the German side that he interviewed. That is so fascinating to get that perspective.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating. This one guy who became a minister, then when he moved to the United States, lived in Milwaukee area, and if he didn't join... The young German, the Jugend, they'd call it, whatever, J-U-T.
Right.
Yeah, yep, Jugend. The youth, Nazi youth. His dad had a government job. He'd lose his job. Just boom. He'd lose his job. Another one, her dad was a tailor, and he used to come and make all the German uniforms. And he was old, but it's like, we need you to work for us. And they just took him and made him go do that. And this other one they interviewed, he and his buddies, they were all great high school friends. And one of the things they did is they kept those guys together through their youth camps for the whole thing. And he came down with like a weird disease, like diphtheria or something. And he's in the hospital. And his buddies all got sent to Russia on the Eastern Front. And he received every few days, he would receive, because he'd write to all those guys. He's in bed. And every few days he'd get a letter back, sacrificed his love for the fatherland. They all got killed. They all got killed. And so, you know what I mean? So it's like hearing it from their perspective is really fascinating.
Yeah.
No, so, no, but your grandpa didn't talk about it too much, huh?
Not a lot. He was he was born in 1919 and drafted when he was 18 in 1937.
Okay.
And then they moved to the States in the 50s, and he became a civic engineer here in the States. But, yeah, he doesn't like to talk about his time in the States.
No, I know, but it is fascinating hearing it.
Right.
Civic engineer. We just talk about just German ingenuity, you know, because with this car show. But they really are. Hey, Todd, this is a question. I don't know if you were listening earlier when we were talking to Carl. Carl ran track at Pepperdine, right?
All right.
And he went to school out there in Northern California, but he went down to...
Pepperdine, just like maybe the most beautiful campus in America.
Totally. I mean, it is.
In America.
Hard to beat.
It's hard to beat. Hard I mean, beat. That, there's probably something in Hawaii that's just as nice. But
no, I've seen the schools in Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah, I'll take... I mean, I've been to Pepperdine. I'll take that over anyone.
Out there.
We don't have the humidity either, so we'll take it.
Phenomenal.
Anyway, he ran cross country and track. What do you think was his best time in the mile?
Well, I have no clue.
About. Like, right, people, when we were in school,
give
we ran
give me some choices.
If you broke 5 minutes, you're really good.
Oh, my God. 6-minute miles, what we most of us ran, right? Didn't you have to run that to get the presidential certificate?
I was 7.5 minutes, I think.
I think I was worse than that, Mino.
Yeah. No, seriously, I think I was about 7.5 minutes. Yeah.
All right. So I think this is, like, really interesting. I'd like to turn this into a contest, but it's too late because I've already started talking about it. This kid... ran, take a guess, right? You ran the mile in 7 minutes, right? You had classmates that ran it in six. You watched the Olympics.
And then got beat up after gym class.
Right, For not, the girls beat you. Yeah, and that's always, I'd always hurt a little bit. 3:59.
Shut up.
Sub 4
3:59.
That's unbelievable.
That was like a world record forever to beat that, and somebody beat it, and then a bunch of you guys beat
it.
Okay, here's the
thing.
Absolutely incredible.
You didn't believe John when he said he got a 23.
No.
Or a 32, still whatever it was, 23. But you believe the 3-something?
3:59. It's documented. It's well documented. Yeah, there's a video of it.
You're going to believe the German over the Italian.
Oh, yes.
Wow. I think that's incredible.
That's a pretty cool thing at your age to have under your belt.
Yeah, you know? No one can ever take that away from me. Right. It took
psychologically.
Me a couple times. Like I ran 4:02 a couple of times before that.
Wow.
So does that come up in your interview? Do you like drop that?
I would throw it in.
I would, but
I don't know if it's on my resume or in my interview, but it's just like. Yeah, no, it's a feather in my cap for sure.
Because I would be like, as soon as I'm done with the interview, I'm going to go run a mile. It's only going to take me 4 minutes.
I'll be back in 4 minutes.
I'll be back in 4 minutes. Wow, that's incredible. But like Jim brought up, Roger Bannister was the first one to do it. Not sure about what year, late 40s, early 50s?
It was in the 50s. I want to say 56
and nobody,
or something like that. Yep.
Nobody had ever done it.
Right.
Thousands, if not millions of people had tried to do it.
Right.
He does it. And then after that.
Dan Brooks.
Yeah.
Just everybody does.
So it was a psychological thing, wasn't it?
There he is right there.
And now
is that you?
That's him.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's the Pepperdine days. Yes. I broke 4 when I was at Syracuse, my 5th year.
Okay.
But
well, that's a Syracuse uniform, though, isn't it?
That's the Pepperdine as well.
Oh, is it? They're both
two orange and blue schools.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. That's cool. 4 minutes. Did you, in your mind, did you know you were doing it? Did you know, were they calling out your splits or anything where it's like,
yeah, I was running pretty consistently, like, you know, 60 seconds per 400. So I was right on it, but I was on the edge to where I didn't know until
okay.
I crossed.
When I did the 440 quarter mile, my dream was to get to 60 seconds. He did 4 of them back to back to back under 60 seconds.
Did you, like, that's pretty cool. I think you're the first person I ever met in person that has done that.
Me too.
Did you look at becoming a sponsor
Olympics?
For shoes?
Anything?
Well, I guess that's one track, I guess, is the whole Olympics. But no, I was wondering if you...
Of course, Jim would turn towards the financial advantages.
No, I had a few ideas.
I would turn towards the being for your country, and you turn to, how do I make a buck out of this?
The guy looks the part.
Am I wrong, Todd?
I think you could sell
totally
some
what
shoes.
Jim does.
I'm just curious, as you ended up in the media, but did that opportunity present itself?
Yeah, interesting points on that. I thought about running like semi-professionally, but it's hard. It track, I mean, there's just not a lot of money to go around. So like the top end of the top end that you hear
about.
Well,
money shouldn't really matter. It should just be more for the love of the...
Oh, here we go. Yeah, that's such a lie. Boy, you'd get some NIL money now, though, wouldn't you?
Right.
Yeah, I would. For sure. Go ahead.
But here in this area, like, you know, I do like the local shoe store, Runaway Shoes. Like I run for them that like... in their jersey when I run road races and they give me a discount. So that's kind of like a small scale of what you can do. But like, I thought about running semi-professionally, but yeah, it's hard to have a living. A lot of pro or semi-pro quote unquote runners have full-time jobs outside of it because they just can't support themselves off of, you know, a small shoe contract.
Okay, so I could tell you something yesterday when I was walking on the trail. I hear us talking behind me, okay? And it's like pretty far behind me. It's okay. Well, they're pretty far behind. Next thing I know, passing on the left, it's this lady talking on the phone, talking loud, and still blowing past me, walking on the trail.
That hurts.
Ask me if that did, it like legitimately hurts. Like, oh my God, am I sad?
It's getting louder and louder.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So I teach a class. I want to talk about this to them. But so the option of, it was really more financial sponsorship, wasn't a big thing. Wasn't as lucrative as you would have hoped. What about the Olympics?
Well, the interesting element bringing the two parts of our conversation together there is I could compete legally for either the USA or Germany.
That's
because
right.
I'm a dual citizen.
Yep.
So I could choose one or the other, but then it's really hard to switch back. But yeah, no, it's just really difficult to qualify. I mean, like if I really dedicated myself to it, I think I'm talented enough that I could make the Olympic trials in the United States or maybe the German trials. But I don't think that. I just don't think I'm good enough to ever make it. And I had other ambitions in life, so here I am. You know,
what would it take to qualify for the Olympics these days?
Let's take the mile. 3:59 is what I run. I think you'd probably have to be 3:50 or faster to go.
Wow!
The three guys that made it this year for the United States have all run under 3:50 in the mile.
I had no idea.
Me either.
Because you don't really hear about the mile too much anymore.
Right, and they run the 50. So the 1500 equivalent of that is like sub 3:30 in the 1500. But yeah, the American record was broken last year. A guy ran 3:43 in the mile, which is also the world record, but it was a little bit off the world.
That's mind-boggling.
It's insane. Yeah.
That's awesome.
People are getting faster and faster.
Yeah, they
high schoolers can break 4 minutes now. Only about 10 have done it, but the high schoolers can break 4 minutes in the mile now, which is absurd.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's incredible.
That's cool. I mean, that's when you. I will think of that every time I see you now. It's just, you know, you get people and I think that.
I remember
that's a nice badge to have, though. Instead of that guy did time.
I remember in Happy Days, and Richie was like going for a job interview and says, "Tell me some of your, you know, accomplishments." And he broke 5 minutes in the mile. He was the captain of the track team. He broke 5 minutes in the mile.
And we go back to Happy
Days.
That
was on Happy Days. Right. I still remember that.
They sometimes they interview question, "What do you 10 at?" You know, and
yeah.
You could. That would be a very quick answer for you.
Yeah, that's what I was best at. I'm not quite in that shape anymore. I don't know what I would run for a mile right now, but not that.
Right.
So you don't look much different from that picture. What did you weigh in that picture?
Probably 160. I'm pretty tall. So for a runner, I was on the big side. Like you look at me on the starting line compared to all these other guys.
Right,
I probably
right.
got 30 pounds on a lot of them. But yeah, that's about what I raced at.
Wow. Right.
So you're with 26. Your neighborhood, Johnny and I, when you left last time, we're like, he's not going to be here too long.
We didn't mean that in a bad way.
No,
he's gonna get canned.
No. Well, that no. You could go on to places, but
you got the luck. You got the whole thing.
Right.
You got what
like
they
it
look
here.
For.
I do. Yeah. No. I'm excited for the rest of this. You know, high school football and Packers and the draft and the election. I've covered a lot of election stuff, so that's been probably the most interesting element is being in a. You know, I lived in California and New York, right? So being in Wisconsin during an election year has been very, very interesting.
Are you doing our DePere West DePere game this weekend?
I am, yes, sir.
Did you see Noah Friday night when he got
mobbed
by those kids?
Yes, it was electric with the Kakana and Fondi. So that was fun. Hopefully, I get to do something like that. Well, last year I did West DePere in Bayport. I mean,
oh,
remember
that
the
rain.
Weather was horrible.
It was the coldest rain I've ever experienced in my lifetime.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was horrible that night.
That's why we like that it's on TV on 26.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I like while I'm up in the box and these poor guys
pizza.
Are on the
right.
sideline getting pummeled. Are you okay? Let me ask this though with the Packers season. Now, is this your first Packers season here?
No, I was here all of last season.
Oh, you were here all
of
last
season.
And
I went to, I think, one game as a fan and then a couple of others I was working. So,
okay. If somebody from California came up here for a Packer game, never been up here before, what would you do for them for that weekend?
Ooh, well, we definitely tailgate. You know, we'd hit a couple bars before the game too, more than likely. But no, I think it's just the college football atmosphere that kind of is here. We don't really have in California as much.
Did Pepperdine have a football team?
We did not.
I didn't think so.
I have siblings that go to USC, so I got to do a little bit there. But I've been to a game at the Rose Bowl, but it's just not the same in California. I mean, the college football is just not big there, and. I mean, here we're talking about the Packers, but the Packers have the most college football-esque atmosphere in the NFL, I would say. So, no, I think the whole pre- and post-game experience is just as much of an experience as the game itself.
That's cool. That'd be fun to bring somebody that's never been here before.
Right.
Bring
hopefully I will. Yeah, no, at some point this year. And hopefully I'll have people visit me for the draft.
Okay, I got to be honest here, though. Something that still amazes me a little bit, because I've been to Pepperdine. I've been to Syracuse. I would so take Pepperdine over Syracuse. It's incredible. Of course, I was in Syracuse in the middle of January or whatever, you know, for a basketball game. But why Syracuse?
The Newhouse School of Public Communications is the short answer.
Oh, academics. I didn't even think of that.
No, also the running team. I mean, I had finished my degree at Syracuse or at Pepperdine, and I wanted a school that had both an elite running program and an elite journalism program for my fifth year. I had extra eligibility because of COVID.
Okay.
And Syracuse was the middle of that Venn diagram.
Okay.
It was great at both. And I thought about going there for undergrad because it was so good. So yes, it was a very different weather, different people, but I got to experience something a lot different. So I just, there was no grad degree that I really wanted at Pepperdine.
It is one of the best journalism schools.
It is.
That and Missouri usually are considered the two best.
Yep. Northwestern's great too.
Northwestern,
but more for print, TV.
Yeah.
It's Syracuse is very considers cool. themselves the best.
We got more Northwestern people here than I think you think. Right? Jarts? A lot of those guys
a
few of them that have been here, which, as I said to him, you hide that well.
But no, Northwestern, actually Arizona State,
where
I went now, is considered one of the top ones.
Okay. Yep.
But it's funny, Arizona State has gotten so big that Aisha from Channel 2, who went to Arizona State, never set foot on campus. She was like the downtown campus type. You know what I mean? Those places are getting so big.
Tempe versus Phoenix.
I wonder if it loses some of its hands-on sort of thing.
60-something thousand students.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would like then not have really having that campus atmosphere. So I'm glad. I don't regret going to Pepperdine. Like, we had a great small journalism program.
I will say one thing, though, about ASU for football. They don't play almost all their games at night because it was so hot.
Right.
So you got a party atmosphere all day long with the opposing. So
that's
fun.
True.
That part wasn't so bad.
I'm sure that's why they do it.
That's it. All right. We got to set our quick break. We'll be back with more. Carl Winter. Is it pronounced Carl or like what would it be pronounced in German?
Karl.
Karl.
Karl Winter.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Love it.
We're going to do this in the next segment, him doing a German accent. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. How do you say welcome to your guests? Say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. Say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. Say it with a great deal. Zero interest up to 60 months. No money down in equal payments. Hurry, offer ends the 31st. Certain restrictions apply. Visit PellaWI.com today.
We love Pella. They're a great sponsor, great quality product. Of course, you rent. When you get a house, you go to Pella.
And you settle down here in Green Bay.
Yeah. These are the things I'll need to consider, yeah.
Hey, let me ask this, though. But, you know, again, we talk about NBC26. We think they do a really nice job of letting you people get acclimated to one area. I think that's really, really cool. And I think it's really advantageous then in finding contacts. How have you found that aspect of it?
I think it's been great, yeah. I mean, I think it's probably more valuable to some of the folks you've talked to out in Manitowoc and Fond du Lac and Oshkosh and, you know, the far reaches of our viewing area. I think they are local celebrities in those areas.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more, you know, southern suburbs of Green Bay. So it's not like the local media is still right there as
right,
well.
Right, right, right.
So I'm still kind of trying to break into, you know, folks that have, you know, other reporters who have been here for 15, 20 years probably have better contacts than I do.
Sure.
But I've gotten the chance to, you know, to meet a lot of folks and the community leaders, the movers and shakers in these areas. I think that I've certainly gotten my foot in the door over the, you know, year.
Can I ask Jim a question? I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
What type of reporters did you really have a lot of respect for, and which ones did you like, waste my time?
You know, I what you were just alluding to, it, people who were honest, you'd say, look, this is off the record. They put their pen down or pencil, or they would just, and they were good to their word. Other times when they would call and say, hey, look, I want to come and talk to you about this, and then they would talk about something else. I didn't like that, and I would tell them
they'd
that,
use something else to get their foot in the door? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, okay. I've seen that.
You guys used to do that a lot.
Yeah, and you got to shoot people straight. Yeah, yeah. And tell them what the story's about as well. I don't like, you know, you don't like deceiving people on that front.
Yeah.
But
you got a job to do, and we respect that. I got a job to do, and I got along with most of the reporters, and I really respected that. I think sometimes that doesn't happen as much, but you know, they would just say, go out and find two stories, and they'd come and say, what's going on? And there really wasn't anything going on. It's like, come on, give me something. It's like, well, my mom's going to turn 80. There's like nothing to talk about. And there really wasn't. And I think you're hiding something. You're really not. I mean, government, you know, we didn't, I think we worked pretty hard, but you know, there's some times where it was a little bit of a lull and you got to respect that. But I like the reporters and I think you guys were pretty fair. But you, like I said, you've got a job to do. What I think is interesting about reporters, and you hear this, like when I like to watch a lot of the shows on Sundays, and boy, they just, without naming their source, they're all like, well, my sources tell me this. So they all spend years developing sources. Well, you have that in sports too a little bit, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's going to take you some time, right? I mean,
I think some people have abused that over the years, though. Mm-hmm. There's no question about in certain reporting, like even with the Packers and everything.
But I think
it got to a point of being too easy to say a source, an anonymous source. That got to be too easy.
Well, I think it's more common in sports even. People try. I saw it yesterday with somebody saying Gonzaga was going to go to the Pac-12, and then others were saying, no, my sources are telling me no on this. And I've learned, we don't grant anonymity to people unless they really need it. And
right.
The way I learned, and I haven't really, there are very few stories where people, like, if person is in harm's way, maybe, then you let them be anonymous. But otherwise, like, you lose credibility. If all of my stories, I just said, a source told me this, people would be like, all right, well, he's probably making this up.
And there were some people in Green Bay that I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, where it was kind of like, really? Really? Somebody said that to him? Really? It was that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I think once you earn the respect and trust, then people are going to be like, all right, this guy gets it right, so he's not going to make it up. But if you abuse that anonymous source thing, then it's...
There was a guy that he did a big Packer website thing, and people were swearing that it would be like, send me in your questions. That it would be like, really? Somebody asked that question about, because he used to work for a different team. You know what I mean? It's you're lying. And somebody like call him out on that on a regular basis. You could just tell Joe Blow didn't just send you this question that you have the perfect answer for.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what I mean by some of that stuff can be, used as a shield.
And to be a reporter or to be an entertainer, that's blurred a little bit now.
Yeah. Thankfully, I don't think necessarily in the local media.
I was talking more national. Yes,
national sports media, certainly.
Well, I don't know, though. Drew was like a superstar at that Preble High School game that night.
True.
Yeah.
True. There Andrew. You go. Andrew. Yeah, Andrew. They love Andrew over there.
They do. They do.
So that's good. But yeah, no,
Noah's become Showdown. A celebrity in Kakana.
There you go. Yeah. No, I mean, Showdown, we can have a lot of fun. But, in the everyday era, like we're not entertained. I guess, morning shows are a little bit different. You can have a little more fun. Cameron, meteorologist, he can have some fun. But those of us in the news, we kind of keep ourselves in line a little bit.
I think that's what's cool about you guys being involved with Showdown. You can be just your normal self and have fun. It's a fun event. There's nothing serious about high school football that you can't have fun with.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Especially different worlds. This week will be fun. West Appear and Appear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. All right.
So you're working on some things, Packer things. Anything else we can kind of tease us with that's down the road? I know you're big on the draft.
Well, the draft, the draft will be great. More, but I think the main thing I'm thinking of this week is that I'm working on a story about the history of De Pere and West De Pere, which is actually very interesting. It's friendly now. It was not friendly in like the 1930s and 40s.
Oh, it still isn't. Nicky!
We did that East-West game. John and I were both at that. And those are cool rivalries. And that is such a little town, yet over the bridge, east-west. So, it's interesting.
Nicky was here. Nicky works for us. And Jesse is also our new guy. And she's like, she's a big West De Pere person. She's like, where do you live? De Pere. Well, which side? I don't know.
You gotta know
which side.
Jeez.
So you say in the old days, West De Pere and De Pere?
Fighting.
He's doing a story on
contentious.
The thing. It's still alive. And her name is Nicky. It's still alive. Right, Nicky?
They actually just got homecoming back in East De Pere, a couple years ago. Because they were so
Because West De Pere kids used to come over Cuz Bones.
Don't blame the West.
Did you know that? They had to cancel homecoming. Yeah, you're going to find out. Great having you here. Carl Winter, NBC 26. Who do you call him? Who's the guy from?
Rolf.
Rolf.
Rolf, man.
Thanks for being here.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.